Hi, Luca Turilli, and welcome to Metalsock Finland. I'm Tarja. Today we'll talk about your upcoming album Prometheus Symphonia Ignis Divinus, which comes out on June 19th via Nucleoblast. But before that, please tell me, how does it feel now, a bit less than a month before the release?
Well, first of all, hello to everybody. It's my pleasure to speak here with you.
Okay, our pleasure too.
And I would say, well, it's always something, an amazing moment, you know. Imagine after a full year devoted to the album, composition, production, mix, and so on, this was a top score for me, because until now, I think only with the album Symphony of Vincent and Lent, the first one, the very first one on 1998, I remember it took so long, but this was another incredible effort, really a great, a kind of spiritual investment, I would say. No?
Yeah, I think so, yes. Listening to the album, it's very deep.
Yes, you know, all the Rhapsody music was always related to some very specific, let's say, subject. Mm-hmm. I would define it like a spiritual evolution, no?
Yeah.
Before with the saga, now facing different subjects in every song, all that, but there is always this kind of very important subject that is connecting all the songs, all the Rhapsody songs.
Yes. In fact, I was thinking that before I was listening, that it's nearly impossible to take only the little parts of the album and say, I know what it's in there, because you have to listen the whole album to get the idea.
Yes, it's not a real concept, but of course, also when I plan, you know, the set of the album, the list, set list, in the end, I always imagine to listen to the album completely. Yeah. I never imagine, this song can stay there, like this casually between another one after the other. It's really planned from the very beginning. Usually Rhapsody is always like this, it's very specific. I have the titles, and I know that after one song that ends in that way, I want the next song to start with a good color in contrast with the previous song. So it's playing really carefully, no? It's really meant in the way that the people can enjoy it, listening from the beginning to the end.
Yeah, that's, I fully agree on that. That impression I had also. Then one curiosity, on 5th May, you invited your fans to do questions on the upcoming album to satisfy their curiosity. To your opinion, what were the weirdest questions about the album?
We are still collecting a lot of stuff, no? Of course, there are the typical questions, that curiosity, and then there are still questions about the split of 5 years ago.
Of course.
Prehistory, no?
That will follow you, I guess. That will follow you forever. I mean, not forever, but a long time.
You cannot do anything again. No, but... and then also the crazy question, no? Some crazy, reflect the personality of such a wide crowd, no? On Facebook and so on.
So, yeah, of course.
No, me, I don't have my personal Facebook account. I'm one of these guys that I don't have even a mobile phone, so quite isolated from the rest of the world, like a typical artist, no? But I have my wife taking care of the Facebook page, so other people taking care of the website. They always pass to me the most nice messages, and there's plenty of them every day. And the one that really hit me, hit my sensitivity, are the one really where, I don't know, they sometimes, you know, that thanks to your music, thanks to the fact of listening to your music, they had the force, the courage to face a situation of life, to come out from many problems, drug problems even. So many things, and this is, I think, is the greatest satisfaction from an artistic point of view, no?
Yes.
But there is a great interaction, yes. I like anyway to know every time what kind of messages there are, or that to monitor the crowd, you know, of course, the people interested in the Rhapsody music and so on. Me as artist, I feel it like a mission, you know,
yes,
to spread this positive message of love, you know. So me, I became a guy, now I really am at a point, probably will be the age, I don't know, but I love everything. Mm. I cannot step with my feet on one end, you know. Mm. For me, every time I walk in my garden, I take care to not put my feet on an end, because for me, life is really holy, you know.
Yes.
Of course, I had particular experiences in my life that really took out all my spirituality in some way, no?
Yes.
Really moved me into the spiritual perspective.
Yes.
So I all my life is a kind of, I'm devoted to Rhapsody, because through Rhapsody I can really spread this positive energy. It is great when, thanks to Facebook, thanks to other ways, when you meet the fans after the shows,
yes,
you understand that they get this energy, and you get it back, the same amount of positive energy from them. That's,
yes,
the magic moment of being a musician.
Yes, and that's also, you know, you feel that there is a reason for your music, the purpose, the purpose
that's
and reason.
Thing.
Yes.
You know, sometimes I feel myself not really, I'm composing my own music. I feel myself more a channel.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, it seems that everything works by intuition. So as intuition is very important in the spiritual perspective,
mm-hmm,
it seems really like music creates itself by itself.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes,
yeah,
I have the feeling I'm just using my hands like that, but there are some moments that through my brain, through my mind, everything comes, and I have just to remember everything what is coming. I will forget something. For me, usually I don't remember a unique moment for one session of composition where I had some problems of creativity.
Mm.
I have even the contrary. I have too much creativity. For example, now for Prometheus, you know, at first I tend to compose the songs basically.
Yeah.
And then after, when I have some titles, I decide after 2 months, 3 months, I started which will be the songs that will end in the album. No?
Yes.
So usually create some songs more than the one that you listen in the album.
Yeah.
And for example, for this Prometheus session, it was amazing. I reached 20 songs, something never reached before.
Mm.
And it was very hard for me to decide which songs will be left out, and
yeah,
in some way, now when people like me, when you finish one album, you are promoting it. You, with your brain, your mind, you are already projected
on
the following one.
Yes, yes.
You cannot stop composing. I don't know. It's like if I feel the angels speaking through me. It's very difficult. The spiritual entities, the energy of creation.
Mm.
I don't know. I really feel this. Wow. This incredible, yeah, avalanche, emotional avalanche.
Yes, yes, that's great, because that will mean that we will have next year, or I don't know when, the new album. So
I have to say that this was a particular case, because this is the first time,
yeah,
an album, it took so long, you know, 3 years from one,
yes,
release to the other.
Yeah.
And this is simply because the first year and a half after the release of Ascending to Infinity, I needed that time to create, you know, because I opened my company, and I need to create a powerful system for all my orchestrations. As you know, I arrange everything,
yes,
for Rhapsody, you know?
Yeah.
There are many bands that normally that have orchestra, but they pay external people working. So, of course, doing that, you save a lot of time, no? But in Rhapsody, where the orchestra is the main element of the music, if I could not compose, orchestrate my own music, then arrange it, I would feel like it's not me composing my own music.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
So
yeah,
it's very important. It takes a lot of time, and I wanted to have a super professional studio, like the one of the great composers composing music for soundtracks, for video games, and so on. And so as I started this company, I needed this big studio, and I could now, thanks to Rhapsody, also test it. Finally, you know,
okay.
But that's the only reason why it took so long from our old previous to this new one. Normally, 2 years for a Rhapsody release is what I imagine.
Okay, great, great. Listen, then after Hollywood metal and film score metal, your latest album, in fact, Ascending to Infinity 3 years ago, marked a new chapter in music history, the birth of cinematic metal. So was it something that you were looking for, or was it a natural development?
A natural development.
Natural.
I would say that, you know, already when we began, it was the first time the record company, you know, who wanted to present the band in a special way. So it was the company who thought about the definition Hollywood metal. Then we, after the release of the fourth album, we changed the record company, mm-hmm. and then the record company suggested it was sounding better for what we wanted to mean, the term film score metal.
Yeah.
But at the time I already preferred, I would have preferred cinematic, but then the record company told me, no, it's better, sound better, film score for what you want to mean.
Mm-hmm.
So later, now, with my new Rhapsody adventure, after I finished this big journey, artistic journey, with my ex-colleagues, actual friends, Alistair Opel,
yes.
Fabio, all the others, and they could start my new Rhapsody adventure. Now, it was the great moment for me to come back to that word cinematic, because of course in Italian, in English, I'm very close to the cinema, that is my big passion, no?
Yes.
So, it's very clear. No compromise,
And
very direct and explicit. And in some way, yes, there is a kind of evolution for me, because, for example, now in my new Rhapsody adventure, I use some elements different from before, because, of course, before there was a saga.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you have to consider that with a saga inspired by these heroic fantasy themes, of course, we could not use some sounds that now I can use, for example, in my album. So, for example, in the last two albums, you can hear a lot of modern electronic sounds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I really like this connection between present, past, and future.
Yes.
This is, you know, something very spiritual for me also, no? Because
yeah.
It's something like to go over the borders of space and time, creating composition when there are no artistic limits in some way. So
yeah.
in the same album, I like to have some songs like Rosenkreuz or like Yggdrasil, more related to ancient mysteries, ancient symbols, things like that, and ancient meanings, sorry.
Yeah.
And then other songs more futuristic, like of Michael the Archangel Part 2,
mm-hmm.
and things like that. No, I really love to combine the two things. Because, why? Because... And I like to evolve in this way also because the world of the soundtracks, if you go now to the cinema, you understand that the same world of the soundtracks is evolving in that way.
Yeah.
So you hear more and more these futuristic elements connected to the typical orchestration, to the typical choral arrangements. So these electronic sounds, I imagine movies like Resident Evil or the last ones like even... The Matrix trilogy, I really loved it, the soundtrack.
Yeah.
And for example, arriving to the last movies like The Amazing Spider-Man 2 or Interstellar, all these kind of movies, if you go to see, you notice that there is a kind of evolution compared to the soundtracks that were released with the movies in the 90s. The first years of the new millennium.
Yes. And I was thinking about this cinematic part. You know, maybe one day, or if haven't already, a movie maker will contact you and say, hey, Luca, would you like to do the soundtrack for my movie? So most probably you will.
But you know what? And now that's what I told you before. I created this studio,
yes.
And I found one partner right to work in the entertainment industry, specifically.
Okay, great.
So we made a demo, and
yes.
it went fine. We found an agent in Los Angeles. And right now, of course, I was busy with Rhapsody for 1 year. I invested 1 year, a complete year of my life. But now that I have some more free time,
you have time to.
I thought with that activity, yes, in parallel, and I really hope to push also Rhapsody through it, no? So something connected with each other. For example, for me, it would be a dream one day to hear in a famous video game a song of Rhapsody. Why not? No?
Why not? It would be great. Yes.
You know which is the bad problem that And this makes really the difference with Rhapsody. Mm-hmm. I understood this just entering a little bit this different market. Mm-hmm. When you enter, for example, you start making something in Hollywood, Los Angeles, mm-hmm. Of course, they don't care about who is Luca Turilli. So you have to prove everything again,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
It's not that because you sold 1,500,000 copies in heavy metal that they care of you more than another guy that is unknown. No, mm-hmm. you have to make a demo, you have to prove. So luckily, we were lucky. You know, it's the second time I record a demo in my life, and it goes fine. First time with Rhapsody, yeah. 1997, and now 1 year ago for my new activity in the entertainment industry. So yeah. I was lucky, but then you know what is the difference? Why with Rhapsody, I have complete freedom, and this is something I will always thank God for that.
Yes.
Complete artistical freedom. I just give the final product to the record company. So yeah. in yeah. our case now to Nuclear Blast. So they trust so much in us, in me, my composition possibilities, yeah. that it's not necessary to lose time making demos, forth and back, sending.
They know your product, they know your music. I wouldn't call it product because it's music is, as you say, freedom and when you can create it with absolutely without limits, it's
absolutely.
The ideal situation.
Absolutely.
That, yes.
Right. While for the Hollywood market is different because
yes.
In many cases you find yourself creating a lot of music. Mm. Then these agents, they give us it as license. They license it to do other clients. Mm. And can also happen that, for example, you hear some of my music that I write for a video game or for a trailer or for a big movie, whatever, but you will never know that it's me who composed it.
Yeah.
And that's very frustrating from a composition point of view for a composer, no?
Yeah, sure.
Because
yeah.
you create something, but then it comes that is realized by someone else, mm-hmm. and this mm-hmm. is not very nice.
No,
so the Hollywood market also works a little bit in that style. So, you know, that's why I prefer anyway to concentrate and to focus completely the most of my music activity in Rhapsody.
That's true. Listen, going back to the album, as you said that it took a long time for the composition, 7 months, if I correct
yeah.
me if I'm wrong, then 3 months of production, over 50 days of mix, 2 chorus, and several special guests also. Okay, do you want to tell me something about more about these 50 days of mix or production, as you already mentioned me, or can we talk about your special guests?
Yeah, absolutely. I can tell you what you want, Nicola.
Okay.
But we need time for that. A lot of stuff to tell.
Yes, yes. All the time you want, I'm here.
Please, to make bored our people.
Yes, and we sent our excuses to the next one who wants to interview you. Okay. Okay, tell me, these 7 months of composition, what kind of situation, I mean, did you went, you closed your inside of the studio, or what was the place you were composing?
Oh, yes, absolutely. It's always like this. I close, I know that I have to start the composition stage for the album, then I close myself in the studio, but the first part is a very specific for Rhapsody, a very uncommon. When you speak with the other bands, I think they tell something different. In my case, the very first step in the composition stage is to find the titles. Not only the titles, but at least a good part of them. So I open my Word file in my laptop, and I start writing some titles that come through intuition on that day. No?
Okay.
Then, after a couple of days, I look back at those titles. I think, this I like. I like it not so much. This maybe just the first type. No, then I have to change the second word, the third word.
Mm-hmm.
And some others, wow, yes, this is amazing. So for the titles that I like immediately, even after 2 days, I confirm them. Then immediately something happens in me.
Okay.
My brain, my mind. I prefer to say my heart and soul.
Of course, yes.
I think everything together probably start brainstorming, no?
Yeah.
So I start brainstorming and I immediately think how musically and lyrically could be represented that title that I like to see written in front of me.
Okay.
So it's something very particular because then in my mind immediately I decided in that moment if that song will start with the piano, because the title really inspires me in that direction, mm-hmm. or if the title inspires me to start with a guitar riff, mm-hmm. yeah. or from a keyboard specific sound, whatever, no?
Yeah.
So then it start, then even when I go to sleep, I go on brainstorming, sometimes I'm not even able to sleep, so, yes, and then after some days, when this brainstorming led to some result, I start taking one title, and I don't know, the title that it was inspired me, for example, to start on the piano, so mm-hmm. I put myself, I have everything at my home, I have my studio, where mm-hmm. I can start recording something, or I have the piano in my living room, so depending, no? Then I move from the studio to the living room, depending on the mood, on the moment. And I find myself sometimes at 4 o'clock in the morning totally playing dramatic notes on the piano. Sometimes even I find myself crying, you know, because sometimes you touch some emotional point of yourself and you have some emotional reactions.
Yes.
So sometimes I remember some songs for this session of composition were really dramatic. Now I don't remember which, but some moments you start really... Because you feel, every time, like I told you, when I compose something, I feel connected to another world, to the dimension outside us, or deep inside us, now that is the same a little bit, you know? When you feel connected with this spiritual energy, then, it's like you live a kind of transcendence, how you
Yeah, and I think also when you do create music, you have to live it through before. Because otherwise, I don't know, is it possible to transmit emotions if you don't leave them first?
No, bravissima, that's perfect.
Okay.
I would not even do the music.
Yeah.
Because for me, if I do music, and now it's not anymore about money, because, you know, the market, it was it is. Not like before, things like that. So you really, if you make music, really for a different reason, no, than just the one of selling albums or things like that, because that is something that I never did, because it's a really terrible perversion, the fact of thinking what the other people would expect and try to please them through the composition. I would not do anything if it would be this the case.
Great,
for me, first of all, I am the first fan of my own music, so I write immediately the music that I would like to listen to, and then there is a chance, like you say, that also other people can like it, can be reached by other people, can touch the other people, the emotional side of the other people. That's the only reason for me to do this job, and I really love it.
Yes, I fully agree. And to go forward, because then we will take another moment to talk about everything, because there are many topics. It inspires me as a person who interview many persons to listen to you, because it's music, it's person, it's a musician. They have the fully different story, personal story behind.
Yeah.
So that is one which, as you said, that it touched also the music, and it will modifies it in the way, a different way, because it's you who live it in that way, and somebody else is living it another way. So the same song is could be, you know, the completely different thing. So talking about the special guests on this album, including Ralph Sheepers from Primal Fear, Dan Lucas Caro, and David Redman, Pink Cream 69. Why these choices, and what can you tell me about these collaborations?
I have to say thanks to our engineer, Sebastian Reder.
Mm-hmm.
You know, worked with him since the album Ascending to Infinity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a very well-known guy because he's the responsible for the live sound of big bands like Creator, Lordi. He's a great, fantastic, amazing technician, in the sense that he's taking care of our recordings, and he's also responsible of the mixes itself.
Okay.
So, let's say, he's a genius of the sound, so in some way, He knows all the people out there right now. So it was very easy when I made my request to have some special guest to have those people. And it was amazing having Ralph and David, because they are really done, because they are really some, I consider them as great voices. And I needed them in order to add variety to my new Rhapsody album. Because especially for this one, you know, 70 minutes of length, I would get bored by myself, you know. For example, if every song would be sung just in English, if all the choirs, I would have just used one kind of choir, if I would have used just one singer, Alessandro, for all the albums, it would get bored, even for me who composed it. So I think I really like to have many different colors in a Rhapsody album. So that was a great thing, especially thinking about its length, because I never released before an album of 70 minutes, you know? At first I was asking myself, maybe it's too much, because Rhapsody contains a lot of information, no? In every song there are tons of tracks, thousands of tracks, so all the instruments existing, so... In the end, I said, no, I don't want to renounce to too many songs that I like. So I said, no, I prefer rather to add a lot of different colors. And so that's why I searched for different additional voices. And thanks to Sebastian, it was possible to enter in contact with these people and to have them. For the song King Solomon, I wanted really to transmit these Middle Eastern feelings, no, very mystic, mysterious. And so the voice of David, that I knew him since the times he was singing Adagio, the French band. I really loved his performance, and I really wanted him. And I really hope this collaboration will go on also in the future for the next Rhapsody albums. I really hope so.
Yeah.
And it will really happen. So, and then Ralph, everybody knows Ralph, no? He's a monument in the heavy metal.
So,
it was amazing. At first, I called him just for the epic choirs, like in the case of Dan Lucas, the same, no? Because we define as epic choirs those typical heavy metal choirs that you use that are performed by four or five rock singers to underline some vocal lines. So to give more emphasis. So of course, it has nothing to do with the operatic choirs. We define them as epic choir in our studio slang. So, and then, but when I had arrived, the opportunity to have arrived in the choirs, there was Marcus Vosgen, the head of promotion of my big fan and friend Marcus from Nuclear Blast, that asked me, Luca, you would make the greatest gift to me if you would ask Ralph to perform also in the bonus track, the cover Thunder Still of Riot. If you could ask Ralph to perform a duet with Alessandro on that song. So I said, wow, but it's anyway a fantastic idea, independently from the gift. I'm joking. It's my big friend, so of course it's my pleasure. But yes, I said, wow, it's a great idea, also because I made a cinematic version of the song, no? So I would never dare to just simply copy the original, because I always think that you can never make better than the original. So if sometimes also in the best, we took some great songs of the best with my ex-colleague Alex Staropoli, we made with Rhapsody of Fire, the cover of Guardians of Halloween, then the cover of Flesh of the Blade of Iron Maiden, and some others. We always like to take them and to rearrange them in the Rhapsody style. So I made the same, offering this cinematic version, so full of orchestration. And so it was a good idea to have Ralph really, it was original, no? To have Ralph performing that song, also because not all the singers could do that, no? It's a very difficult, technically demanding song, but the result, I heard it was fantastic.
Great. Then we can talk about when once the songs were ready and you said, okay, now I enter to the studio. Or was it so that when you were already in the studio, you were working on the songs?
No. it's very specific also in this sense, the process of the production. There are these six, in this case, I tell you, refer to this album specifically, but it is also like this with different timings, time frames, but it's the same for all the albums until now. Okay. So there is this moment, like I told you, with the titles, then I start with the songs, then maybe I have 20 songs, like in this case, then I decide which one will enter the album, then I go on with the arrangements or that. Let's say I define them more and more, I make my demo, then there is a moment of called the pre-production moment, where I ask my singer Alessandro to come to my studio in Italy. So still we are at my home studio. So there we check all the vocal parts that I created, if they fit perfectly his voice or not, and then Alessandro, when he listens the stuff, he can come with the so-called cherry on the cake, no, offering a kind of alternative here or there, and this is something really improving. It's the great improvements of the last minute, no?
Yes,
so very important. And then when everything is done, we are ready to enter the studio. If this time, for example, we used a part of my studio that I use in Italy. I used also to record my guitar part. This time I also recorded my rhythmic part. After many years, I was not recording rhythmic guitar, but only, let's say, lead guitars. Then we went to France to record the parts of Dominique, the rhythmic and the lead guitar part of Dominique, and then the heart of the production happens anyway in Germany, where we record the vocals part, choirs, the drums, and the bass. And then we had, I have to say the truth, this time we record also additional special guests, also some opera singers, our new opera solo singer, opera lead voice, that is Emily Ragni. From France, is our new soprano, let's say, of the band. We perform with us also on stage in the future shows. And so you see many, many different studios, and then in the end, the mix. But of course, I found myself still arranging while mixing, and that led to a situation that was unbelievable. Despite having a full year of time, like in this case for Prometheus, in the end, there is anyway a deadline to respect, right? So it was that point. I was finding myself mixing with Sebastian. At the same time, you know, when you receive the mixes, then sometimes you are not happy about something of your arrangement, of your orchestral part. So I had to reopen everything. I had to change some violin parts, some flute parts, some trumpet parts here and there. And so at the last minute, you find yourself making thousand things. And it happened also this time that it happened this time that I didn't sleep consecutively for 3 nights.
Okay.
And, she was terrible. Close to the end, to the deadline. I had to finish everything. I was still arranging, mixing at the same time. And I was looking like a zombie in the end. Really.
So not photo shooting right after the official photos.
I took 1 week of complete rest. Just to sleep all the day.
Yes, that's very understandable. Yes, and you mentioned already a lot about the lyrical topics, as you said that first comes the title, and so the lyrics are full of mystery and secret knowledge.
Yes.
So I guess that it's come very deep from inside of you. So how do you think that this all began?
Well, we are speaking more here about my spiritual perspective. No, let's say that my life was very particular. Mm-hmm. I was always attracted by metaphysics since when I was a child, by parapsychology, by all these so-called supernatural phenomena. No, so I was a kind of very sensitive person, and so that's why I was fascinated by these kind of things. I was not really satisfied by the normal way of acting of the people. Already when I was a child, I was seeing the things around me. I was seeing too much. I was not happy. I was frustrated by all this violence, by all this. I remember I was going to the stadium to play soccer the first times. No, you are a baby, you go.
Of course,
then seeing all these people inciting you. You are just a child. And you were totally there looking at them, and there were these parents really inciting the referee, but even the little children. And I was thinking, but this was really, it reminds me, you know, the situation of the arena, like 2,000 years ago, when there were these people enjoying seeing other people eaten by lions or things like this. No? Yeah. So I always felt on me this kind of, I don't know, frustration for how the human being was presenting himself in the daily life situation.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was feeling always disconnected by this. That's why I tended to isolate myself already at school. I was never part of a group. I was never part of something. And that's why also now I'm not part of anything. I'm not part of any religion, even if I came up with the Catholic religion. But then I never liked to be part of something. So I never voted for a political side. I never felt to be part of something. No?
Yeah.
In the end, after I made a specific spiritual experiences, lived on my skin because of many phenomena that happened to me, because of the special sensitivity that I had. And then thanks to the some years ago, I started practicing yoga and meditation, some specific techniques to also to increase the psychic abilities, all this kind of things. So starting really experimenting, not anymore just being fascinating, reading books. Or
yes. That it's not just a hobby, but it's a lifestyle.
Yeah, it's a lifestyle. Yeah. No, when you enter this world, you cannot go back anymore because you start understanding things that the materialist perspective can simply not offer.
Yeah.
So you live in a deeper way, you understand much more of the universe, the multiverse, whatever around you.
Yeah.
About the sense of the creation, all this, and then you really understand that you see around you the people bored, that they live the life just in a bored way, just to pass the years and to die, waiting to die, no?
Yeah.
And then you see the spiritual people that really live in another way, and they enjoy the life much more. So it's really then something very particular, and of course, me and the second style of people, no?
Yeah.
And so, what I can say, that my music, Rhapsody, was a way really to stay connected to this dimension, no?
Yeah.
And that's why I breathe Rhapsody. Some people may be timid that a composer writing music like that, but no, it's something like totally carved in my heart and soul. Every title, as I told you before, every music, every melody is really connected to this will to express this spirituality, no?
Yes.
And to make people understand that life is something so precious and is a real miracle. I mean, it's clear from all my titles and all my discography when I speak about these things. And I have to tell you even more, even if before there was a saga, I always was telling interview after interview to the journalist that there is much more than simple fantasy story, but hidden meanings, hermetic meanings. So I revealed, because, you know, you can tell, but many people, they just don't know that, you know, it's very difficult to reach all the
so
people.
Maybe it's difficult to, when there is one thing that it's difficult to understand, it's easier to refuse to think about it.
You're completely right.
Yeah,
but that's why now using Facebook, you take advantage, no, of that, and I like it for that. So I released some articles, for example, 1 year ago, I released one article divided in two parts called The Secret Revealed, and it was really about explaining finally in a more explicit way which was the origin of, for example, of the saga of Rhapsody that became so well known in the world of heavy metal, no?
Yes.
So I was explaining that, for example, the choice of the emerald sword and the choice of the emerald was related really to the emerald tablet of Hermes Trismegistus, this legendary mythical man that was considered also as a god, no? By the Egyptians and so on. And so, in some way, I wanted really to show that there was a really, it was full rich of deep meanings, and if the people have interest, they can understand really something. If they have some, their practice of spirituality, they can really understand something in that way. And I repeat, that is very important, no?
Yeah.
Because as you told me, people sometimes they don't know. Spirituality is not a religion. Religion for me, because I came up with the Catholic religion, yeah. I respect all the positive values of every religion, because they are the same of the universal value, of course.
Yeah.
I don't like the part of any religion where the ego of the man tries to adapt the religion to himself, no?
I could say amen to that. I mean, I think in the same way.
What I wanted to tell was very important to connect to what I was telling before, that only after practicing.
Yeah.
I was telling you that was important to underline what I just told you. So, yeah. I respect all these positive values, because they are the same values, the universal values. But I was always interested, I always searched through my curiosity to find out what lies behind, before, you know, there is no time involved in this. We are speaking about something over space and time. So what there is involved, let's say, before the religion.
Yes.
So I was always trying to discover more. My intention was to discover more about the real truth of everything. So really to get connected to this primordial energy of creation. Mm. Or some people call God, or some people call it in other ways.
Yes.
It doesn't matter. This matrix, as you want.
Yes.
But this great gift of creation. Everything, because also you have to know about me. You know, I lived a particular episode in relation with my health. I was destined, let's say, to die when I was 21 years old in 1993, because I had a cancer. The doctor told me that there is no chance for me to live, and it was full of metastasis, you know, in my body. The doctor told to my mother, what we do, we go for the chemotherapy, and but he risked also to die because of the heart chemotherapy,
yes.
You know, chemotherapy.
It's
so tough. My mother said, okay, let's try it. But then the miracle happened. So the typical miracle you cannot explain, but that you can explain only when you understand much more about the spirituality,
yes.
About psychic abilities, and how we are really fragment of divine. Divine,
yeah.
You know?
Yes.
So then you can understand something. Of course, for all the other people, it's just miracles, no?
Yeah.
But okay, we speak later.
We will talk, because believe me, this is very very interesting, and we will fix another chat for these topics for sure, because we have to, I noticed that we have less than 10 minutes.
Oh my god, sorry.
we must say sorry the next interview that we are late, because I had here many other questions. One thing about one song where we can the Il Tempo degli Dei, where we can hear the real voice of the great Italian psychic Gustavo Adolfo Roll.
Yes.
Two words about this choice, please.
You know, Gustavo, as I told you, my life was very particular. No, I lived some phenomenon.
Yes.
For me, it was quite normal. You know, for the people who seem to look strange, but for me, that I lived in that style of life, like I told you before, it's quite normal to live in contact with some particular sensation and particular feelings. So I would say that Gustavo was an important person in this sense, a real inspiration, a real guy who demonstrated how, if you develop your sensitivity, you can reach really some point where you can expand your psychic abilities, you can really arrive at the point of dominating the matter.
Yeah.
So that's just amazing, no? I mean, this is done by many people who practice yoga, special techniques, very secret, Tibetan, the Asians know a lot about this stuff. So, I mean, all the culture, the ancient culture, they handled this wisdom, no?
Yeah.
The wisdom of the ancients is very known to hide all this kind of secret, the Kabbalah, all this kind of things, the Buddhism, all this.
Yes.
Or even the religion, in some parts, there is an aspect of every religion hiding some truths hidden behind the secret codes, and all that. So
yes.
It's very interesting. I mean, that I was very interested, as I told you before, to explore this primordial spiritual source. I, of course, investigated everything.
Of course,
tried everything. So was really amazing, really a gym of metaphysics, I would say.
Yeah.
And then it's great also to analyze at the same time the scientific discoveries, the last ones, and see how the circle closes at some point, and the last discoveries, they just arrive at the same conclusion that the ancient reached, of course, not using scientific terms, but other concepts, many thousand years before, no?
Yeah.
So it's just amazing.
Yes, that's true.
So, yes, Gustavo was one guy that really helped me a lot in that sense.
Okay, that's a great song. Listen, then I just mentioned that on the May 29th you will release the new single, this Prometheus, which is the title song, sort of. Yes. And then two words about cover artwork. I mean, it's done by Stefan Heilemann,
yes.
And it's featuring a model called Black Spirit X. So why this choice? So
this was very important for me because as we wrote in our biography given to every journalist, we like this sentence, we don't want only to sound cinematic, but also finally to look cinematic.
Yes.
So there was always something in me. I was always missing something. You know? We work with great artists. I love many of the artworks of the past. But what I missed, especially now with evolving the cinematic aspect of the band, was really the underlining of the serious impact of the music, no?
Yeah.
The serious aspect of the lyrics and all that. So for me, it was very important now to underline that after the end of the saga like that. Let's say with Ascending to Infinity, we made something in the middle, and now it was very important with the new album to go in that direction and to have something really photorealistic. Like, for example, you know, when you go to see a movie in the cinema, you have this typical advertisement showing an image of the movie with some actors or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was very important to have something looking realistic. And that's why we chose an artist working with photos, with real models.
Yes,
so that made the difference. But I was really enthusiastic to see the reaction of our fans that enjoyed the new approach, the new graphical visual approach. And this for me was great because this is the artist I want really to proceed with in the future.
Yes, yes, Stefan Heilemann.
Yes, responsible for epic artworks. But for Rhapsody, we really asked something specific. So I really asked him really to go for the word cinematic and for the ultra realism.
Yes, great, great. Listen, then, of course, I'm sure that that after the release, so in three weeks more or less, you will head on tour or first the summer festival season?
No, absolutely not summer festival because we have to prepare our headliner cinematic tour, the Prometheus cinematic tour.
Okay.
And as you know, we have also this time we will have video projections.
Mm-hmm.
We will be in November all around Europe.
Yeah.
What I can tell you, we will be headliners.
Of course.
And what I can tell you is that as there is the video projection, I need really like 2 months because I take care also of the video, no?
Of course, all the details, yes.
Yeah, so I need like 2 months just to prepare images for the video projection or that. So really, believe me, it will be a very tough time for me. There is no time for summer.
I'm sure. So no holidays for this summer, I'm for sure.
This is important, something I like to tell always. The people normally think, no, the musician, no, realize the album, then the rest of the year, then the following year after the tour is free.
And then you go under the palm tree and drink some soft drinks.
We are not close to the truth at all. Because in my case, for example, I think I don't remember one Sunday of the last 5-6 years,
yeah.
I didn't work.
Okay.
Really, it's really tough, but this is, as I told you, that's why you can do only if there is passion behind it.
Yeah.
If you feel it part soul, this can help you go through that tough, hard times, no? So my day, you can imagine, is like 16 hours per day, you know, like working on the music, then 2 hours dedicated to gym and yoga and meditation.
Yes.
Because otherwise
and that will help, I think.
I would have been already dead of heart attack. time. Yes. Otherwise.
So, yeah, I guess so, because it's really tough. It's normally people think that it's doing a musician. It's only, you know, on stage that what you see on stage, but it's much.
Some moments you can envy the people that have a regular job, that they finish at 5 o'clock. Yes. They are home and they can dedicate themselves to read books, to enjoy movies like this. Me, okay, thanks to God, looking the cinema, going at the cinema is part of my job, because I go to see a couple of times the same movie, the first time to enjoy the movie, but the second time to check the soundtrack, like that. Okay. So in some way, part of my job.
You study it, yes.
So, but for the rest, it's very difficult to find time for reading books and all that.
Yes, I believe you. Listen, Luca, we have to take our last question. What are your greetings to your fans and to our readers, Metal Sock Finland readers? What is your message to those who are listening to us right now?
First of all, what I always said, because this is the most important thing, I want to see them, every one of them, at our next shows, no? Wherever we play. We have to meet in some way, because, as I said before, the energy that you give in the very beginning needs to be compensated, no? For a universal law, it can need to be compensated by the energy that we get back from the same people when we are playing the music on stage.
Yes.
So this interaction is something that is oxygen for all of us, not only for me as composer, but for all the band members, for what they give in every album of Rhapsody, for all the help, all the support, and it's something that really, for us all, already now we are looking forward to playing on stage, you know?
Yes, yeah.
You imagine, you know, also with the big speakers, listening to your own music is an emotion that you cannot describe. And at the same time, I want really to wish, despite all the bad things that we can read every day in the news, really all this perversion of the human being, I can say that there is also this probably hidden, but this positive side that doesn't make any news, no, that doesn't is not doesn't appear in the news, because not it doesn't how you say help making big audience, no,
yes,
it doesn't make
but
it is there, and the people. A lot of positivity, a lot of respect, a lot of love in the people, and it's just important to find the way to get it out, no?
Yes.
So I'm very optimistic, and that's why through my music I always like to give a great message of hope.
Yes. That's a great message, Luca, because as you said, that unfortunately the world is full of bad and sad stories to tell and news. So I'm happy that you are there to telling the good news and spread this good energy that you are doing. So I thank you very much, Luca. Ti ringrazio davvero tanto. And I do hope that we will talk soon again, and of course see you when you are on tour. Yes.
Super. That's the most important.
Okay. So all the best for your very busy summer. Summertime.
Yes, thank you so much, Daria. All the best to you for your activity.
Thank you. We will talk, and I hope we will see soon.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Pleasure, my friend.
My pleasure too, Luca. And thank you very much, and bye-bye, and have a nice evening.
You too. Okay. All the best to you. Enjoy your time. Ciao,
yes, you too. Ciao. Ciao.